this morning. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. El Perfecto. Well, we are grateful this morning and we are gracious that you're here today, and we're going to talk about just what we sang about, and that is Jesus. So let me read something, and maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. But he was born in a very obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant pastor. He never wrote a book. He never held an office, never had a family or owned a house. He never went to college. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. Thank you. Said he had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. And when he died, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have gone, and they have come. And today, he's the central figure of human race, the leader of the column of the progress. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned have not affected the life of man on earth as that one solitary life, and his name is Jesus. God, amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. One of the things that we always talk about when we talk about Jesus is, well, if you're lost and you need Jesus. But, you know, all too often in Scripture, the Bible says, ye of little faith. Or he says, why don't you have any faith at all? And one of the sad things where we are today in Christianity is that not that people don't love the Lord, but they don't put the Lord up where he needs to be. We have, and I've said it before, dropped down the Lord to meet our standards versus us rising up to meet his standards. And I don't believe or care whatever virus that's out here, whatever illness is out here. I believe that we have a God, if his people would get down on their knees and pray, he would heal the land. He would stop the nonsense, but the people are not willing to do it today. And I believe that those are the things that we have to change. Those are the things where we have to take our Christian faith serious. This is not a game anymore. You know, we're having an election, and it doesn't really make any difference what side you're on. And I had wrote, you know, in a Facebook post, we just need to vote biblically. Just go and just, you know, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, I don't care who you are, but before you pull the ticket, make sure that you know who they vote or who they are. You know, do they believe in God, or are they for us? Are they against us? Are they trying to silence the Christian voice? All of those kinds of things. And then make a vote based upon the Bible and the Bible alone. Now, who is Jesus? Now, only you can answer that, but who is Jesus in your life? Some people will go, well, I don't know. Well, you know, September 12th, 1990, I met Jesus. He changed my life because I was lost. But, I mean, that's been many years ago. But who is Jesus to us today? If you have prayed to receive Christ, that's great. You met your Lord and Savior. But if you have far past those days when you have prayed to receive Christ, who is Jesus to you today? Is he a name? Is he just a great preacher? Was he a great person? Was he a prophet? Who is he? And those are the things that we have to distinguish today in our life as mature Christians or a young Christian. Who is Jesus? Well, let me read to you what Peter said, and it comes, y'all, I don't have the little clicker. Let me, I think it's right there. Thank you, Gary. In Matthew 16, 13 through 16, Peter is asked a question. It says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, others Elisha, but still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And I think if Jesus was standing right here today and he was standing in front of all of us, I think it's a question that he would pose to everybody in this room today, who am I? It doesn't make any difference what your neighbor thinks it is, but the question is, he is a one-on-one with you. Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, Peter specifically said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Now, there's two things in the midst of that. It says that you are Christ. That means that he is the anointed one. But it also means that he is the Son, not of God, but the Son of a living God. And that's the God that we worship today. Now, this is what the Jews said. Jesus goes, I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them. He said, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? I mean, he's asking the question, what did I do? I've done everything. I've showed you miracles. But why are you stoning me? For which one? And then the Jews answered, it's not for the good works that you have done, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Then the centurion. Now you have to put yourself in the place. This is where Jesus is on the cross. He's gone through all the pain and the suffering. And the centurion, the guards are there. And it says, now the centurion and those who were with him kept guard over Jesus. And when they saw the earth quake and the things that were happening, they became very frightened and they said, truly, this was the Son of God. Well, now what did Peter say? Peter said, you are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. The guards are looking on the cross and they're going, he was God. He is the God that we worship today. Now, what does the scripture say? Look at John 1, 1 and 5. Now, when you look at this, this is an interpretation of the first two persons of the Trinity. It says, in the beginning was the Word, that was Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Well, the scriptures tell us that in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And you and I need to understand who we have, how powerful it is that you and I can come today and worship the Son of the living God. It continues, in him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. Mankind is living in darkness today. But he is the light of mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, the problem is, cannot comprehend it. If we go someplace, and I was told this morning that they want to shut down the rodeo because of the coronavirus. But I promise you that if Billy Graham could stand in the middle of it and they would listen to him, and Billy Graham would get the crowd together, and he would say, everybody here, let's bow to the God of all gods and the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and let's humble ourselves before God, and let's stop the nonsense and get down on our knees. He would heal our land. I promise you that we could heal the land that is such in a mess today. But people wouldn't comprehend it. They'd go, you're crazy. And that's the problem where we are today. And I ask my question to you, who is Jesus to you? Another passage comes from Matthew 1, 22. It says, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, and it means that God is with us. Now, if God is for you, the Bible says, who in the world could ever be against you? Amen. See, we have to think differently. We have to act differently. We have to understand who we are because who has us? The Bible tells us that Christ lives in you and me. And if Christ is in us, then we are strong and powerful and we're mighty. Amen. Now, do you think Satan's not going to come? Saw a Facebook post the other day. It said, you know, that the Bible didn't promise us trials and tribulations. When Paul put his hand in the fire, it says the viper bit him. God's not saying that we won't get bit. But what he is saying is that the venom's not going to hurt us. And what you and I need to understand in the midst of our life, Satan wants to come and Satan's going to bite us. But we also need to understand that I am a child of the Most High God, and I don't care what Satan wants to do, but he can't have me because I belong to the Lord. And I ask again, who is Jesus to you? He was born just like you and me. But the difference is that he was born of a virgin. And he was born of a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if anything should show us the necessity of the Spirit today, is that if a woman can give birth through the power of the Holy Spirit, how much power could that be availed to you and to me? He was a man. He was a human being. He got hungry. He was thirsty. He got tired. He had concerns. He was emotional, and he cried, and he got angry, and he was tempted, yet he never sinned, never. Baptized by John the Baptist, and his ministry started at that day when the Holy Spirit flew down upon him and landed on him, and the Father said, that's my son. And that's the day that he had the power to do what God had called him to do. And he worked for his Father the rest of his days. But who is Jesus to you today? Well, first of all, he's our righteousness. Well, what does that mean? That means that you and I, every day of our life, have a right standing to stand in the presence of Almighty God. That means that I don't need a priest. That means that I don't need a mediator or an intercessor. Every day that I get up, I can open up my Bible. I can sit on my porch. I can read the Word of God. And I can stand in the presence of Almighty God because I am righteous. And it's all because of Jesus. He's grace. And I love the picture of grace. Grace stands for God's righteousness at Christ's expense. All we have is because of Christ. All you will ever be is because of Christ. Everything about us is Christ. There is mercy in the picture. He's a healer and he's a deliverer. He's a defender. I love the picture again, where there's a little cat, it says, sometimes we feel like this. And it's just a little tiny cat. But it says, with Christ in our life, we feel like this. And it's the picture of a lion. See, sometimes we do feel like we're nothing. But that's why you need to understand who Christ is. Because Christ is our life. Christ is the one that does everything for us. And you and I need to stand tall to go, I am a child of the Most High God, bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. He's our pathway. When you don't know where to go, ask him. And he is our peace. And there's not one person in this room would not want to have the peace that would surpass all human understanding. And you can have it if you go to him. He's our doorway. When the world says you can't, God says you can. When your employer says you can't do it, God says yes, you can. When people say no, God says yes. He is the doorway to open up anything for you and I in our life. He is matchless. Nothing compares to him. He is limitless and he is everlasting. He's our advocate. See, how awesome is it that we have somebody in our life that will look at us to go, oh, yeah, Keith made a big mess out of it, Father. He sure did. But he loves me and he cares for me and I'm here for him. It's okay. He's our mediator. When you and I don't know how to say it right, he is the one that's in the midst of it to go, this is what he's trying to say. And again, he is the gateway. But when you look at all of the strength of Jesus, do you really understand who he is in your life? Well, he's also a miracle maker. See, he makes a way where there is no way. You know, I counseled with somebody recently that was struggling with alcohol, and I said, been there, done that, got the T-shirts, I understand. And everybody that I talk to, they go, well, I was trying to do this, and I that's the problem. You're trying to do it. But he himself, he is the miracle maker. He is the one that will take you from where you are to take you where he wants you to be. He healed the sick. Oh, he gave sight to the blind. He gave strength to the lame. He gave hearing to those that were deaf. He fed the 5,000. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. And when you look at all of the miracles that Jesus did, why can't you and I have more faith? If Jesus looked at the American church today, he would go, what's wrong with you guys? Why do you have no faith? What's wrong? And even when he fed the 5,000, the people that were there, they fell into disbelief shortly thereafter, and we do the same thing. And our greatest challenge is, again, to read the book, to understand who he is and what he is and what does he want us to do. But the Bible says he is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. See, if you don't know the way, then learn the truth. And if you're lost and you learn the truth, then you find life. Satan wants us to get bit by the scorpions. He wants us to get bit by the viper. And he wants us to stop right there. Two people in my life that love me enough called me. And one said, listen, I just got some things I want to meet with you about. And I said, okay. And he says, one of the things, Pastor, you got to quit doing is worrying. And I went, okay, I'm doing the best I can, okay? And then the following day after that phone call, I got another phone call, and the guy says, hey, you know, could I talk to you? I got something to say. I went, sure, you can say anything you want to say. Quit worrying. I'm like, okay, Lord, I got it, okay? I'll quit worrying. But see, we worry because we don't understand who we belong to, but he is the Lamb of God. He is the Alpha, He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the King of the Jews. But the other piece of this is that he's a wonderful counselor. Let me break it to you gently. We all need help. Yeah. If you don't believe me, ask your spouse, okay? Or ask one of the friends closest to you. We are all 3 fries short of a Happy Meal, okay? It's just where we are. But he's a wonderful counselor, and we can go to him and go, Lord, I don't know what to do. And the Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask for it, and he will provide the wisdom to us. But he's a mighty God. He's not a little God. He's not a God of just enough. He's a God of more than enough. And you know, we look at all the people that are here today and all the people that are gone and everything else, but he is an everlasting God. I've got friends that go, well, I pray for everybody, but I don't pray for myself. And I'm like, then that's foolish. And there's responses, well, he doesn't have time. No, that's not the God that I worship. Our God has time for everybody and everything and every challenge that you and I have in our life. He's a mighty, mighty God. And here's the piece that I love, is that he's not a respecter of people. You know, if you think about him, he had dinner with a tax collector, the most hated person around, and got ridiculed for it. And do you know that his feet were washed by a prostitute? Got chastised for that one. He spoke to a woman who had been married numerous times. He was there when the one woman that got caught in adultery and they wanted to stone her. And he spent time with unlearned men, fishermen. And then after all of that, he's just a compassionate individual. There's 3 charges that send him to the cross. First of all, he loves sinners. And so should you and I. He healed on the Sabbath. So should you and I. And what we can't do, he said he was the Son of the Most High God. And we can't say that, but we can sure share that about Jesus Christ. But he also set a standard. And again, if you look at standards today, somebody in one of the Democratic races said something about, it was about abortion, and it was like, well, it's just like scrubbing your teeth or something. It was so ridiculous. I went, get out of here. But you see, the world is lowering the standards of God, and the world wants to come down here because it's easy. And God said, I didn't set standards that were easy. My standards are up here, and I want you to raise to my standards. I want you to get above your circumstances. I want you to rise above your situations. I want you to walk on the water. I don't want you to dwell in the midst of the storm. But he was honest. And you and I need to be honest. You know, when I have the pleasure to do a funeral service, I share with those who have lost their loved ones, just be honest with God. If it hurt, it hurts. If you're mad, you're mad. Tell him, like he doesn't already know, because he knows everything. So but he was honest and he was sinless. And he even asked his dad, he says, Dad, why? Why are you forsaking me? Why are you turning your back on me? And then being God, he knew what was going to happen. He went to the garden. And he said, Daddy, I don't want to do this. And the Bible says that he was so concerned that he was sweating blood. He was in a mess. But then he said, Dad, not my will, but your will be done. And then it is death. He was beaten with a cat of 9 tails. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They hit him and they spit on him. And then I thought last night how sad they stole his clothes. Here is the God of all gods on the cross. He's unrecognizable because they beat him with the cat of 9 tails. Again, they've hit him, they spit on him, they made a crown and pushed it on his head, so blood is coming down. And then after it's all said and done, he's down there and people are stealing his clothes. But what did he say? If that happened to you and me, we would get ignorant. We get ignorant if someone cuts in our parking place at Kroger's. And dear God, did they get the last gallon of milk in the cupboard there before we got it? But after all that that happened, he said, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they are doing. And he bowed his head and he said, it is finished. And then they carried him to the tomb. Who is Jesus to you and to me today? I can only imagine the disciples. They gave it all up. And then to see the person that they gave their life up for to be truly on the cross and now dead and carried into the tomb, I can only imagine them going, I gave it all up for this. I don't understand. And sometimes when things happen in our life, we go, I prayed, I worshiped, I did all of this. And this is what I get. I don't really understand. And sometimes God's going to do things that we don't understand. But you see, Christians then and Christians now still act as if Jesus is dead. And I love it when I say it, but. But on the third day. On the third day. You got to get excited, church. On the third day. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. And that's the kind of God that you and I worship. And the stone that was sitting there, the stone that Mary and Martha had gone up to, and depending upon what translation you read, but one of them says that the stone was rolled away and there was that little cocky angel sitting on top of the stone, and he said, I know why you're here. But he's not here. He's risen, just as he said. And then another translation, I think it's Luke, I don't remember, but when they rolled the stone away, they went inside. He wasn't there. And the angel said, come here, come here. Let me show you. He's not here. Every one of you have a testimony, if you have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, to say to somebody, come here and let me show you what Jesus did to me. He rose me from the dead. I used to be dead in sin, but that's not who I am anymore. I am different because of Jesus Christ. But you see, some don't want people to know where you came from. Someone might think that might tarnish my reputation. You ain't got a reputation anyway, so why do you want to mess with it? And if you got one, people don't like it. But I'm serious. You and I, everybody here has been saved by the blood of Jesus. And you need to go to your friends and family to go, here's where I was, but this is where I am. And the stone was not rolled away, church, to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let you and me come in to go, what the God said and what Jesus said is true. He is not there because he is risen just as he said that he was. And I really struggled with saying this part, but I'm going to say it anyway. See, I believe that the world is trying to split us apart. I think the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are just a bunch of nonsense today. And I think they're trying to split our society apart. But if you think about this, Jesus was a Jew. And do you know who carried his cross? A black man. A black man. Carried his cross. He spoke to a Samaritan woman who people hated. and a Gentile woman anointed his feet. See, God is not a respecter of people. He doesn't care. See, Christianity is not a white man's religion. Christianity is not a black man's religion. Christianity is not a Hispanic man's religion. It is a world religion. It is for every person that God has created. That's the kind of religion that we have today. And I believe that God is hurt when he looks at the nonsense that's going on in the world today, when people want to put us on side to side. You see the signs that life matters, it does, but all life matters, because no matter what color we are, when we're cut, we all bleed red. Let me, in Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said wouldn't be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You have to take the choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up from a demon, or you can fall at his feet and you can call him Lord and God. And then he says, but don't come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great moral teacher. He hasn't left that alternative open to us, and he did not intend to. Either he is church or he is not. Jesus didn't go to the cross playing a game for you and me. He went to the cross because he loved us. You know, who is Jesus? Well, again, either he is one of the biggest liars, or he's mentally ill, or maybe, just maybe, Jesus is who he says he is. See, he, I believe, is the one that took our place on the cross. He is everything that you and I need in this life. In the life to come, he is the miracle maker, and he does for you and me what we can't do on our own. He's the only way to God. He's the way, the truth, the life. He doesn't care about race. He doesn't care about your social status. He candidly doesn't care about your economic status. And then after all of this, his dying words on the cross was, Father, just forgive them, because they have no idea what they're doing. And you've heard this, a piece of this before, but when you ask the question, who is Jesus today? Well, I think, one, he's indescribable. We can't describe him. But I got to tell you, if you're down and out and you're busted, you need to meet him, because he's irresistible. And you can't live without him, church. And you can't outlive him. And what I love so much about the leadership of today is that the governmental leaders then and the governmental leaders now, they can't stop him. And candidly, they can't stand him. And they soon learn that they can't stop him. Herod tried to kill him. Didn't work. And death couldn't handle him, and I love this, the grave couldn't hold him. Amen. And my question to all of you is, who is Jesus to you? You know, we come every Sunday, and Pastor D plays, and I have the opportunity to preach. You come and you sit. A lot of people come, they sit, they leave. We have a church made up of a lot of different denominations, and, you know, we're just different. But there's one faith, there's one way, and there's one God, and there's one Jesus. And the greatest challenge for us today is, if you have prayed to receive Christ, what does Jesus mean to you today? Is he somebody you call on when you're in trouble? Is he somebody that you just pray to periodically? Who is he today? But I've read a whole lot of stuff to you today of who he is. He's the greatest tool that we have in our life. But it all comes down to this. You can either accept it and believe that he's the greatest liar and lunatic that ever lived, or you, for once in your life, if you prayed or never prayed, get down on your knees and cry out to him that he is the Lord of lords, the God of gods, and the King of all kings. It's sad where we have come. And it's sad as a pastor to see where Christianity is going today. But it's not a game. Because one day, everybody's going to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. But one day, God's got the date. And it's either going to be a wonderful day of celebration for you, or it's going to be a very, very sad day. Because you can't get to Jesus through your works. I mean, to God through your works. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. It's all about Jesus. Pastor D is going to come up here and play. And again, I've said this, and if y'all have been in the church, many of y'all, for years and years, I've said it a lot of times. September 12, 1990 is when I prayed to receive Christ. I mean, I was an alcoholic. I was pitiful. It was bad. My life was bad. It was a mess. But the day that I prayed to receive Christ, I've never had a drink of scotch since that day. And it's all because of the Lord. But you have to get to that place. Are you willing to accept Jesus as Lord? And if he's your Lord, that means that you become number two. And he becomes number one. I know most of you, some of you I don't, but I want to ask a question, and it's the most important question that will ever be asked in your life. If you died today, do you have the certainty in your life? Not I think, I hope, I might, I may. But do you have the certainty in your life that you would be in heaven with the Lord? Because it's a reality. Held a lot of hands of a lot of people that have died, not knowing whether they were or they wouldn't. And one reason they didn't want to humble themselves, pride was in the way. Well, I never want pride to be in the way of anybody, and my prayer for all of you is that you could examine your own life and ask yourself the question, who is Jesus to me? Is he a name in the book, or is he my Savior? But if you were to die today, do you know? And if you don't know, then the Bible says in the book of Romans, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, or him from the dead. The Bible says you're saved. Because it's with our mouth that we confess, but it's with our heart that we believe. A lot of people know who he is, but a lot of people have never come to that place where they've taken a 10-inch journey from their head candidly to their heart. And my prayer today is that if you don't know Jesus, then you would say this prayer. If you're a believer, I want you to bow your heads. I want everybody to bow their heads. Let's do it this way. Nobody looking, nobody stern. And if you're a believer, then pray that if there's one person in here today that doesn't know Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would fall upon them today. But if you can't say, Pastor, I know that I would go to heaven today, then I want you to say this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, today where I sit, I ask and I confess that you're the Lord of my life. I know that you died on the cross, And I know that God raised you from the dead because that's what I was told. And today, I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now, still with everybody's eyes closed and the heads bowed, if anybody was bold enough and humble enough to pray that prayer, would you just raise your hand? No one's looking. I don't. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, here's what I'm going to ask you to do now. And I remember the day that I was in church and the pastor asked me to come up front. I went, I don't want to be a part of that nonsense. But this is really something that's a real deal. So, church, if you're a believer, right now, pray that the Holy Spirit would prick hearts. A lot of hands were raised today. And that they would have the gumption to get out of their chairs right now if you prayed and you really, really meant it. I want you, if you would be so kind, to come up here to this altar. And that would be the first part of your journey today. So if you prayed, would you get out of your chairs? Would you come up here? A lot of hands are raised. Y'all, come on. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God.